seeing, hearing, caring. Seeing, hearing, caring. Brother Mike.
Thank you, Brother Herb. Dear brethren, let me first bring love from Sister Vicky and our two sons, Jeremy and Timothy, and say that we're all very happy to be here and thankful that we've had this opportunity to come and see you all again, and we do love you all. Seeing, hearing, and caring. We know that symbolic references are made throughout the scriptures concerning our Heavenly Father's eyes, His ears, and His arms, and that these are used to show us a clearer concept of our Heavenly Father's powers, of His providential care for us, and His overruling in our life's affairs, and certainly also of His endearing love for each and every one of us. And just as we see with our eyes, and that we are aware of what is taking place within the range of our human vision, we know that the Creator also sees what is taking place. He knows what's happening to His people at all times. They are always within the range of His vision. And we are told that He's never weary. He's never faint. He is always ready and able, and He's always willing to give strength to His people in their time of need. If we look to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 20 to 31, "Hast thou not known and hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is He weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint." We know that our Heavenly Father said of His ancient people of Israel, those who typified spiritual Israel of this gospel age, that those who touched them to do them injury touched the very apple of His eye. What an enduring symbol of His love and protection, and how precious we all are in His sight. The Bible also tells us in 2 Chronicles 16:9, that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. Again, pictorial language, but how vividly it portrays and brings us forward the idea of the Creator's ability to know what is happening everywhere. We see here the assurance that's given of the Lord's interest. He looks to the faithfulness of His people, and He provides them with the necessary protection from all of their enemies. He also gives us the needed strength to serve Him each day, no matter what would befall us. We are also informed by the Scriptures that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding evil and the good. Proverbs 15:3. So we again see our Heavenly Father's ability to see, to know what's taking place everywhere. Nothing can be hidden from His sight. And conscious of this discerning ability of His Heavenly Father, David prayed that the words that he spoke, that the thoughts that he had within himself, even the meditations of his heart, might prove totally acceptable in His Heavenly Father's sight. Psalm 19:14. We're, of course, limited in our vision. We only can see the things that are physical, material, and only then within the range of our vision. But we know that the Heavenly Father's eyes are not thus limited. He can search our minds, discern our heart's intents. Hebrews 4:13 brings these thoughts out. So how careful and how pure we have to be in our intentions, in our thoughts, and in our expressions, if we are to please Him faithfully each day. Our Heavenly Father has demonstrated this loving care and protection over His people, and it's further brought to our attention by the Bible's many references to His ability to hear His people when they cry to Him, when they lift up their voices for help, and that He bears them up in His everlasting arms. David wrote in Psalm 34, verse 17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and He delivers them out of their troubles." Indeed, the Father cares for us. He loves us dearly. Remember, brethren, that this pure, true love originated from the Father, and that it came down to us through our Lord Jesus. We should be ever mindful that we have our Lord on our side for help and encouragement, for comfort, for consolation, for guidance, for rest. Psalm 29:11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Trust in Him, rest in the Lord. We are to strive daily to put our total, complete trust in Him. And at the same time, we are told, the Lord is strong and He is mighty. The Lord gives strength to His people. We have this grand power on our side to help us. 1 Corinthians 1:24, "Christ is the power of God." This power goes with us. It's our helper. It's our guider and our protector. We know that our Lord's character is faultless. His image is glorious. He is our true heavenly friend, the comforter, the one with the perfect character, which was so well represented to us in the Bible, being the express image of the Father. And what do we know of our Lord's character, of this heavenly friend that we have? We are told in the Scriptures that our Lord is holy, He's meek, righteous and loving. Solomon 5:16, He was altogether lovely. And He was also good, full of grace and truth, self-denying. He was faithful and humble, just and pure, sinless, compassionate, forgiving. He was obedient to God the Father, zealous. We know that He was always about His Father's business. He didn't let obstacles get in His way. He met them and He overcame them. Psalm 40, verse 8. Even when He was all these other things, forgiving and loving and kind and compassionate, He said, "I delight to do my Father's will." And in John 8, verses 28 to 29, "I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, for I always do the things that please Him." And we have been told by Apostle Paul to be ye followers of Christ, fighting the good fight of faith, being a good example of a warm, loving Christian person. We have this care provided by the Heavenly Father, and it takes an effort on our part, as brought out in 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 9. And here we are told to humble yourselves, cast your cares upon Him, to be sober, to resist steadfast in the faith. We see troubles and trials coming upon the world. We're not troubled. We stand strong in this word of truth. We have the sure word of the Master that's set before us. We see guidance from Him each day. We have our ears and our hearts and our minds attuned to Him. We strive to keep ourselves in a thoughtful, prayerful attitude. We know that the child of God desires to be led by the Holy Spirit so we can be sons of God. And we know that sons grow and develop, maturing each day as they are led by the Heavenly Father, a faithful Father, an ever-loving Father. It should be a comforting thought to us. We're striving to prove ourselves acceptable in our own loving, caring, and pleasing way. Never alone, the Father always there with us. He cares. He wants us to please Him. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises to Thy name, to show forth Thy loving kindness in the morning and Thy faithfulness in the night. The 92nd Psalm, verse 1, I will pay my vows unto the Most High, also brought out in Psalm 50:14. Each day our attitude should be as the words expressed in Psalm 116, verses 12 to 14. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? We've consecrated our lives to give thanks and reverence to the Heavenly Father so that we can have our consecration accepted and thereby dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. We have a place, we have a purpose in our lives. We have everything laid out for us. We have to live up to our part of the bargain also. We have this meaning in our lives, and we are assured of protection and care of the Father over all the consecrated footstep followers of His Son. Those who daily strive to live up to the high standards that are set before them, even as our Lord lived up to those high standards that His Heavenly Father required of Him. If we remember the cloud that hung over the tabernacle, and as we have studied it, pictures God's watch care over His people. It was natural Israel then, and the church, spiritual Israel now. We can go onward in our lives during this journey, resisting our fallen flesh and its tendencies, its weaknesses, resisting the ambitions of the world. The world does not see the overshadowing of the Father's divine protection and care that we see in our lives. But we can see this by having our eyes of understanding open. We have to make full use and opportunity of what we have set before us. So therefore, in every trial and every experience, whether it be joyful or sorrowful, whether it seems heavy or light, we can see the hand of our Heavenly Father there. Even as David said in the 91st Psalm, verse 2, we can readily acclaim, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. And continuing in verse 3, surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will keep us from the weaknesses of the fallen flesh, this fleshly nature that we're in combat against, the flesh's resistance to sacrifice, things that could harm our spiritual growth. We know that the tools of the adversary of the fallen nature are varied and many. They can be used to take us away from service to God, if we permit it. We are referring here to tools such as envy, vanity, strife and hatred, doubt and discouragement. We have to dispel these with love and truth and righteousness, with striving to develop these fruits in the graces of the Holy Spirit, so that the wicked one touches us not, 1 John 5:18. And also in Titus 2, verses 11 through 13, the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared for all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly, we should live godly. And to do these things in this present world with its problems and its rumblings and its envy and strife and hatred, we vow to put away these things, looking for our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. His truth, the divine plan of God, is all that we need in our lives. It is our armor, our shield. It will bring us safely through our trials and testings if we put our total trust in Him. If we meditate upon the truth, we must lock it in our hearts, lock it in our minds, daily strive to remain loyal, to remain uncompromising. We're uncompromising as far as the doctrines of the truth are concerned. We do not compromise our lifestyle. We strive to build up a pleasing, pure character. One that has to withstand the test of time, so to speak. Doing all that we can to please Him daily. Living up to our vows of consecration. Always keeping in mind that we belong to Him. We were bought. We were paid for. We use the words uncompromising and striving, pleasing, keeping. All these words imply an effort on our part. We don't sit back each day. Well, I might have an opportunity for service if it comes here to my front door today. We need to go out. We need to make use of our time to serve Him faithfully, actively pursuing a life of a loyal, trusting, pleasing son, attending meetings, studying, witnessing when the opportunity permits. At the same time that we're out striving to show ourselves acceptable unto Him, we know that He is providing everything that we need to grow and to develop. We have to submit to it, though. Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. For He shall give His angels charge over them to keep thee in all thy ways. He shall bear thee up upon their hands. We have this protection, this help in time of need. When we gave our hearts to the Lord, when we announced, made public our consecration, the work was only beginning, as we know. That was just the start of it. A brother said to me a few months ago after a service to the class, "You know, brother, this is 75 years since I consecrated. And boy, I have a long way to go. I have a lot to learn yet." What an example to us all. Each day we have to live it, to drink in all that we can of the Lord's love, of His promises, of His truth. We do not know what tomorrow may hold for us. So we have this wonderful example of our Lord's protection over us. And in addition, He provides us with teachers, with expounders of His word, who have set a wonderful example for us to follow also of service to the Lord. Those who have done so in the past that we have mentioned already today, and those who now serve us faithfully. Those who perhaps we left behind in our ecclesias, who will conduct the meetings. Those who will study the scriptures and meditate and wish they were here with us. Those who give us help during a volume or Bible study. A timely discourse, words spoken just when we needed them, whether from the platform or in day-to-day, every daily conversation, one for another. These are all parts of the Lord's providential care and protection over us. And I know that we can all think of someone in our lives who has provided us with a wonderful example, someone who the Lord used to encourage us, to help us, perhaps especially through a time when we were in particular need, who gave us encouragement to go onward, to be faithful, who gave us an example of zealously running for the prize of the high calling. And we have the same goals in our lives as these brethren have had, who have walked this narrow way before, to develop love, to develop a tender heart, a caring heart, to help each other, and to keep others from stumbling over something we might say or do when the flesh crops up. Even though we're on the guard for it, it'll crop up from time to time. Let us each strive to show forth this love one for another in our lives, and then reflect it all back to the Heavenly Father through His dear Son, that we can strive to prove faithful to the end of our course. We have been invited to walk in the Son's footsteps, but we have to walk faithfully and obediently. It's not enough just to heed the call, leave it for a few days and come back to it. It's a daily, an hourly chore, a responsibility. And those who have responded to this call, "My son, give me thine heart," they have set their love upon God and His dear Son, fully realizing that there is no other name by which we can be delivered from this sick, this dying world. God sees and He hears and He cares. He knows the innermost thoughts and desires of our hearts. And because He sees that this little flock has set their affections and their love on Him and upon the heavenly spiritual things, He has promised to do something very grand, Psalm 91:14. "Therefore I will deliver them, and I will set him upon high, because he hath known my ways. He will lead us and bless us. He will deliver us if we trust totally in him. He delivered our Lord. He was with him. He will deliver us." We know that it's the Father's desire to complete the good work that was begun in each of us who have taken up their cross to follow in the Lord's footsteps, being fitted as jewels in this royal diadem of God. But are we submitting ourselves to the polishing and the shaping? Are we partially submissive, or are we totally submissive, realizing that we are lowly, we have to be humble and meek? So we go onward, desirous of our Lord's love and protection, and at the same time in our lives, we have to show forth this same care and love one for another. Do we hear the cares and the needs of our brethren? We can do this by a telephone call, a visit, a kind word, a thought expressed. We don't know what good it does. We have to be obedient to the laws of love, be compassionate and self-denying and zealous, striving to have these traits of the Son in us, and be sincere and faithful to the end. May the Lord bless you all.
Thank you, Brother Michael, for those thoughts on seeing, hearing, and caring.